Well, good morning. Our readings today point us directly and completely towards faith. Abraham, at 75 years old, leaves the security of his home to travel with a small group and heads to Canaan with only the assurance that they have Yahweh's blessing. I've often wondered what the Canaanites who were already in the land made of that, and it seems that it's a part of the earth that continues to have that conflict going on to this day. But Genesis is not a party political platform. Genesis is the story of a formation of people who live by faith, by faith. And similarly in Matthew, we not only learn of the call of Jesus to the tax collector and the healing of the daughter of a leader of the synagogue and the healing of a woman who'd been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years being healed. And each one of these required faith along the way. We all know that social boundaries were being broken here. The woman was considered unclean. The tax collector didn't have a really robust social life, probably, being a tax collector and all. But societal changes are very hard to reverse, especially when people feel they've got blessings from it and experience them as liberating in some way. Jesus tells the woman who touched the hem of his garment that it's her faith that made her well. And certainly it's the faith is what the disciples, the crowds around Jesus, the principles and the various stories, and every one of us need to navigate changes in the world, changes in our families, changes in our personal lives. But what is faith exactly? We use the word a lot. Much ink has been spilled on the verse from Hebrews that you'll recognize. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Huh, well, that gets us a long way, maybe. Doesn't seem to quite get to the question. Maybe there is no clear answer. But we talk as if we know what faith is. You've heard it said, or maybe even said yourself to someone, I wish I had your faith. I wish I had more faith. What do we say when we say that? And I think what I hear that statement and others like it is something like, I can't buy into the package of beliefs that you seem to find easy to believe, but I can imagine that there would be some benefits if I did. So there's one clue. Faith is, in some understandings, a package of beliefs that somehow make life easier or better in some way. I'm fond of saying, keep the faith, but I know that I'm not suggesting that we hang on to difficult beliefs in spite of doubts. I'm more encouraging continued support of trust in God in the face of some difficulty or other. Don't give up on Hubert Davis or the Tar Heels. Keep the faith. Here, faith seems to be saying, well, trust that everything will work out. And the skeptic will respond, well, think what you like, but what will be, will be. I visited someone in a nursing home the other day who said that his lack of concern over what was going to happen when he eventually died was really upsetting some of the people of faith around him. I didn't think he was being skeptical as much as I thought he was being curious. Or maybe he just didn't care to speculate. What he was about was real pain that he was in and the hope of recovery and healing of what ailed him. True fatalism is more a belief that everything is up to chance. Nothing I do really matters. When I was 7 or 8 years old, I used to go to a municipal swimming pool in a town called Chelmsford. And I would go up to the highest diving board, the sort of Olympic height diving board, and I would jump off after I gutted up my courage. And on the way down, I would say, nothing can save me now. That is fatalism. Bad things are going to happen. There's nothing I can do about it. So live, laugh, and be happy, for tomorrow we die. Now, again, people of faith, alleged faith, will sometimes dress this up with the idea that God has a plan, that everything happens for a reason. And then they get into all kinds of mental contortions that seem to be nonsensical. The earthquake happened as God's way of controlling human population. The car crash that was fatal for your husband or your wife or your mother or your brother or your friend or your sister was because God needed them more than you did. Thanks a lot for that. You know, that is not helpful. In fact, it seems to be complete nonsense. So what do we know? We know that faith is not exactly a possession. It's certainly not a quantifiable material possession. We can grow in faith, but we cannot have more faith. We know that whatever is the relationship between faith and Christian teaching or doctrine, faith is not giving intellectual assent to dodgy propositions. We know that faith is not the same as fatalism, even when the fatalism is dressed up in religious language. What we know, on the positive side, is that like Abraham and Matthew and the leader of the synagogue and the woman with hemorrhages, that faith does help navigate challenge and change, both inevitable parts of human life. It's common these days for people to refer to a faith journey, which I imagine is what Abraham was on, what he undertook. We can surmise that the women, the characters in this story, suffered in all kinds of ways. It seems that what each of them did was risked trusting God for life. They risked themselves when that woman touched the hemorrhage, when the leader of the synagogue went to Jesus. They were taking a risk, certainly a social risk, if no other kind. In making an act of trust, can we assume that they grew in trust or grew in faith? And in the end, isn't faith about trusting God, God's love for us, God's care for us, whatever the circumstances in which we find ourselves? A former associate of mine used to like to say, God does not cause bad things to happen, but God is very interested in what we do with them. In a similar vein, I once heard an Anglican monk tell a story about discernment, actually about a priest who had been in his parish for about 10 years and was being called to another parish. He wasn't sure what God really wanted. So he decided, after much humming and hawing, that he would go into his church, he would shut the door, and he would not leave until he was clear what God wanted. And he prayed and he thought and he prayed and he thought. And late in the afternoon, as the sun came in through the windows, he heard the voice of God. And God said, Elmer, I really don't care. Just choose. Just choose and trust that I will be with you in your choice. Seems to me that God does not want to be the director of our lives and we're not puppets. God wants to be the author of our salvation. And our salvation is made manifest as we claim and proclaim the promises of the gospel, which flow from our trusting God for life, whatever our circumstances. Keep on keeping on. Grow in the assurance that God is trustworthy and hear him say, take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. I offer this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.